You know, you can't find your place if you continue to move around. As a pastor, I have seen this epidemic in the church, and we've given them a title. We call them church hoppers. And what that means is they got legs like a bunny. They hop from church to church. And what they're trying to do is find their place. But understand this, that if you never allow yourself or through prayer to come to a place of to say, God, where do I belong in your body? If you belong at Kingman Family Worship Center, you shouldn't be hopping over there on the other churches, just saying. If God spoke to your heart to be here, this is where you belong. If God told you to go over to Journey, what in the world are you doing here? Amen. That's what I'll say to you. If God told you to go to the Four Square Church, well, bless God, that's where you belong. Be there. Serve the Lord there. Do it right there. If God told you to go to the Assembly of God here in town, then go to the Assembly of God and let God fill your heart and bless you in that place. But understand that if you hop from place to place, you never find where you belong. You never find where you fit. You never find where you can be a blessing or where others can bless you. Matter of fact, most people only know you by acquaintances. I remember one lady came up to me and said, what is my name? And I looked at her and go, I can hardly remember my name. And you're asking me to tell you your name? She said, well, I've been coming here for a while. And I go, yeah, you have. And I recognized her face, but I couldn't remember her name to save my life. Well, she made me feel real bad, and that was her purpose, was to make me feel bad that I didn't know her name. And so I looked at her, and I thought in my mind, I could say this, well, I only see you on Sunday morning, and you come in late, and you leave before I leave the platform. You never come to the altar and ask me to pray for you. You never shake my hand and say, hey, Pastor Bruce, good to see you, and then you want me to know your name. So there's a lot of problems with that in my mind, but I took it on the chin like a good pastor, and I said, well, sis, I'm sorry, I'm a blonde, amen, and forgive me that I don't know your name. But the truth is how can you find where you fit if you're not willing to fit with other people? How are you going to find your place if you're not willing to adventure out and experience more things? But if you're too busy hopping place to place, you can hardly ever find your place to fit. There are two things about hopping from church to church. They are never faithful enough to find their place. Number two, they keep looking for the next best thing. I've seen that a lot in people. Well, the church down the street's got a new pastor. Let's go check him out. Well, that's great, but where did God tell you to be? Amen. What's important is where God's called you, not what's the next best thing. I remember one time a man came to me and he said, I feel called to preach and I feel that God wants me to minister the word. And I said, praise the Lord. Where do you come from? What church do you belong to? And what family of God do you come from? And is there somebody who can validate your ministry and validate who you are? And he says, I want to preach behind your pulpit. And I said, well, who are you? No, I'm just me. Well, congratulations, just you. Who taught you? Where were you trained? Where were you developed? What doctrines do you believe? What do you stand on when it comes to the Word of God? Do you believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Do you believe that God wants to move in this generation and save all the lost? Do you believe in the delivering power of God's Spirit? All these questions as a pastor are flowing through my mind before I allow someone to step behind this sacred desk to talk to you about the things of God. I got to be very careful with that. And the man told me he had no call, no home, no place, no anything. And you know what I said in my mind? Then you have no place behind my pulpit. Because if you haven't been accountable to somebody, you're most definitely not accountable to God. Because if you haven't learned the submission of sitting under somebody, you can't learn to lead with somebody. Come on now, amen? And I read there in the Bible where they said, where did you come from, Peter? Peter said, Jesus taught me. I read there where Mark was able to say, Peter taught me. I read there where Paul said, I saw Jesus on the road of Damascus, and I learned from the disciples. I read there where Paul said to the people at Ephesus on the street, he said, tell me, who baptized you? Where'd you come from? I need to know that, because when you tell me that, then I know where you are and I know where you stand. And you got to understand that finding your place is all about where you come from. It's all about that. Isaac was forced to move. A Abimelech saw the greatness in Isaac, and it intimidated him. Understand, not everybody's happy that God blesses you. Matter of fact, some people are envious and fearful of it. Some people are jealous of it. And some people will come right beside and rejoice with you when God blesses you. I like the ones who rejoice. I like the ones who say, praise the Lord for what God has done. I like the ones who hold me up and say, listen, I'm believing God for some wonderful things in your life. I like that. I don't like the one who smiles at me and walks away then talks about me. Come on now. I don't like that one. I like the one who holds me up and says, I'm glad you're blessed. I'm glad you're encouraged. Because when you get blessed, don't you want someone to say, praise the Lord? I called my mom today and I said, Mom, I want some more details about when God came and met you and delivered you from heroin. And I said, I want to know what year exactly was it? Because in my mind, it's all a blur. I can hardly remember my birthday, let alone all the dates. And so I said, what date was it? And my mom said it was 1990. I said, 1990. And she said, I know this for a fact, son. It was a Wednesday, and it was the week of the 17th and the 18th of September that Jesus came to visit me. I don't know exactly what day exactly, but it was a Wednesday. So me and Siri had a conversation. I said, Siri, tell me, what was the day of September the 18th? 1990, and that was Tuesday. So I called my mom back. I said, Mom, tell me. I said, Wednesday was September the 19th, 1990. And she said, that has to be the date, son, that Jesus came and visited me that night and delivered me from heroin. And I just happened, when my mom said it, looked up and realized that today is September 19th, 2018. And I said, Mama, do you realize what day it is? It's your spiritual birthday. And she said, no, I didn't even realize it. I said, Mama, 28 years ago, Jesus came and changed our family and made us a new people. He brought us out of the squalor of drugs and addiction. Do you remember? And my mom bursted in tears and said, yeah, I remember it all. Oh, it blessed me today. It blessed me today. It blessed me. It was time for God to move us out of the realm of drugs into another realm. So don't be shocked when God steps in and he messes up the comfort. Beware, comfort gives way to confusion real fast. A lot of times we can get comfortable in our Christian experience and we're just coming to come. We're just here to be here. We're just doing the norm. We're just stamping the time card and moving on with life. But you got to be real careful, because if you get comfortable, I heard one great preacher said, God comforts the comfortless and he afflicts the comfortable. Because a lot of times those who get comfortable need to be stirred up. Amen. And if you get yourself in a place of comfort and you relax, you might miss all the things God has for you. And so the news came to Isaac, it's time for you to move out. You got too big of a crowd. You got too much. You're mightier than we are, and you need to separate from us. We're fearful of you. And it messed up his comfort. He was happy around Abimelech. He was fine, but until that, his comfort was gone. Matter of fact, some of you might be experiencing the same discomfort. Maybe you got the notice in the mail. Maybe the eviction or the past due notice came. Maybe the relationships seem great, and then the abuse came. Maybe the good job that you had yesterday fired you today. Maybe you felt healthy until the heart attack came. Maybe everything was good until you didn't have strength in your body anymore. There's a lot of things that can come our way that can change our outlook real fast. And if you're not focused on what God is doing in your life, you can get so consumed in what you're facing at that moment that you miss God. And so finding your place God has for you is hardly ever found in a place of comfort. Matter of fact, you'll find that most of the time God has something for you. He'll send you in a wilderness so you can find it. He'll take you through a valley so you can possess it. You won't experience some of the greatest things of God on a mountaintop. You'll experience them in a deep, deep valley. But in that place, the Holy Spirit proves to you that God is a provider. In that place, the Holy Spirit proves to you that you can trust God. In that place, you find strength and stability and confidence in the Lord that you couldn't find on a mountaintop. Listen, you can shout all you want on a mountaintop, but when you're in the valley and you learn how to shout in a valley, that place will show you how to be strong even when you don't feel strong. That place will teach you how to walk with God and be faithful to the things of God even when you don't feel it. One of the things about church hoppers is they're hopping from one field to the next field. We need people who stick around even when it ain't good. Amen? We need faithful people who will ride it through, who will fight the good fight, who won't give up but will endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And so here we are. Isaac has to move. He has to relocate. He got the eviction notice. It came in the mail via Abimelech's palace. Next thing he needs to do is check out and pack his stuff and go. And while he's on his way, he goes back to where else? Back where Abraham was. He's redigging the wells of Abraham. And there's nothing wrong with going back, is there? There's nothing wrong with refreshing yourself of where you once were. Maybe there were fond moments in Isaac's mind about what Abraham has done. Some wonderful things that Abraham did in those times in the wells. Maybe he had fond moments of pulling water up for his own father in those wells. And so they dug the wells that his father had dug. There's nothing at all wrong with that. But one thing's for sure, what was good for Abraham was not good enough for Isaac's crew. Because they got to a place where the wells that their father had dug were not sufficient enough to fill their wells, or to fill their bellies, or to fill their cattle. Because what Abraham had was one thing, but what Isaac has is a whole nother thing. And you got to understand this, that praise be to Jesus for who taught you the things of God. Praise be to Jesus for a brother Schultz who stood behind the pulpit for 43 and a half years declaring the things of God and who fed you the word of God. Praise be to Jesus for that. Praise God for your mother and father who loved Jesus and taught you the things of God. But understand this, what God gave to them will not be sufficient enough in your life today. You're going to need something for yourself. And I thank God for the testimony of my grandmother, but my grandmother's not me. I need my blessing. I know my grandma's place. I could shout like her. I can dance like her. I can hoop and holler like grandma. I got the well service down. Trust me, I've dug in grandma's wells. I know what the water tastes like in my grandma's well. It's good. It's wonderful. But you got to understand, I can't survive on grandma's blessing and on grandma's provision. I got to go dig me a well and find something for me. Amen? I need my own blessing. That way my kids can say, I remember how daddy used to dance. I remember how he used to walk through the kitchen and sing. I remember how he'd spend hours on the porch with God. I remember those things. Those are important lessons to teach them of what it's like to dig your own well. I love to dip into my past. I love to dip in the blessings. I love to remember the 28 years ago God redeemed my family out of a miry clay. I love to remember that. But you got to understand what God did for mama, I need God to do more for me. I need my own from the Lord. And we can't be living off grandma's blessings and daddy's blessings and mama's blessings. We have to find our own place. I want my place in the kingdom of God. Thank you, Grandma, for it. But I want my place. Lord, where do you want me in your kingdom? How do you want me to walk? Put me where you want me and allow me to be faithful to you. They had to go in search of their own water. They redug the wells, but it obviously wasn't enough, so they went to the valley, and they found a well springing with water. I like that. I wish it stopped there, but it doesn't. It says that the Philistines, the people of Gera, came out, and they quarreled over that well of springing water. That when they dug the well, they found a well that the water wasn't just permeating up slowly, it was springing out. It was spraying out. You know, I like that. Maybe digging down and you hit that spot. Have you ever been digging in your yard and you hit the sprinkler line? Come on now, somebody out here knows what I'm talking about. And that sprinkler line lets you know it was there. It was pressurized. It had water in it. And next thing you know, you're looking frantically to turn off the spring. I kind of imagine that when they were digging this well in Gera, that when they dug the well, they struck a certain point and water just started springing out. And the news got back to Isaac. Isaac, we didn't just find water. We found a spring. And they probably thought, oh, that's what we need right there. That's what we need. Oh, how oftentimes when we think we have arrived, that we haven't. Because they quarreled over it, and Isaac named the first spring well water, the first well that was springing forth water, he named it Asik, which literally means strife. Strife. Don't be surprised that when you are hungry to find your place in God, strife arises in our life. Expect that. Christian, I cannot tell you how many times I'm going to tell you until I die. I'll tell the same thing. We cannot paint this picture of Christianity like it's blessings and promises continually and there's no strife in life. There is strife. Jesus said that it rains on the just and the unjust. The Bible tells us, Jesus said, that in this world you will have trouble. That's what the Bible says. But the trouble is not to stop you from finding your place. But I cannot tell you how many people have come to church in this building, in this new building, and have said, I found my place. And then strife arose. And then struggle presented itself. And then tribulation pursued them. And they're not here. They're not here tonight. They're not here on Sunday morning. They're not here on Sunday night. Not any time that we have a service do they show up. And I message them, and as a good pastor, where you been? What's going on? I try to call. What's going on? Where are you at? How you doing? What's going on in your life? And then they give me the gambit of excuses. And every time I hear it time and time again, I stay in my mind, you're letting strife stop you from possessing what God has for you. And so you got to put that aside and realize that maybe where you're digging is not good enough. You need to keep digging. There are times in your Christian experience that you will dig and find something good. And when you find that something good, you'll think you've arrived. But you'll find strife comes in your life. And then you're going to have to dig again. And we don't like to dig again. But Isaac didn't dig just once. He dug twice. The second time, they named it Sitnah because the Philistines quarreled over that one too. Some people you just can't make happy. They quarreled over it. You know what Sitnah means? It means opposition. Opposition. Why do we expect that when we come to church, we won't face opposition? Why do we teach people that get saved, you'll feel good, it'll be wonderful, and then they leave church and meet the devil in the parking lot, meet him at home, and they find out it's not as easy as they thought. They face opposition, and then they've got to deal with sitting on Essek, and then they're sitting there going, the strife is killing me. Before long, the enemy's doing his best to make you give up on finding where you belong. Finding where you belong. Then they dug the third time. And this one's the well of Rehoboth. And I like this well because it's the first well after they've left, that Isaac finds some peace in digging it. You know what it took to get to Rehoboth? Do you know what it took to get there? Do you know the price that you need to pay to get to a place called Rehoboth? Do you know? The price is persistence. Persistence. That's a word we need to come back to. Persistence. What that means is that when it doesn't go your way, you don't quit. You're still persistent. It means you have to pay the price of faithfulness. Faithfulness. I'm going to say it again because this is a big one. Faithfulness. And I'm preaching to the choir on Wednesday night. Amen. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. This is crucial. Faithfulness is crucial. You pay the price of faithfulness, you'll come to a place of Rehoboth. But you won't get to Rehoboth if you're not faithful. Only faithful people get to Rehoboth. Only persistent people get to Rehoboth. You don't get there any other way. You can't get there without fortitude. You got to pay the price of fortitude. That means when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Amen? We need Christians with grit in their gut, with a fire in their heart, a passion to please and serve God. And in doing so, you can come to Rehoboth. But if you don't pay the price, you'll never be there. And many people want to get to Rehoboth, but they don't want the persistence, and they don't want the faithfulness, and they don't want the fortitude, because the price to pay means you're going to have to deal with some people or some stuff in your life that you don't technically want to deal with. I don't know how long you've been coming to church, but I've been coming to church a long time, and I can promise you the devil joins churches. Hello, somebody. He's a constant member. I'm telling you, he sits in these pews every Sunday morning. He comes to this church looking for some way to cause some strife, to cause some opposition, to do something. But if you're going to get to Rehoboth, you can't let the things he does stop you from getting there. Now, I like Rehoboth because it comes from two Hebrew words. Let me tell you what it means. The first, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce them, okay, because it's just, it'd be brutal. And there's no reason to embarrass myself. I don't speak fluent Hebrew. I got a Strong's Concordance, and it works great. Amen? Rehoboth comes from two Hebrew words. The first one, it means a path or an avenue. A path or an avenue. And then the second one means to broaden or to make large. So what it means is that when Isaac dug his well and he got to Rehoboth, he says, finally, a path for me. Finally, God has enlarged the place for me to dwell. Finally, I've got to a place that God has paved for me. You see, many people don't realize that Rehoboth means that God made some room. God made some room. You might come into this body and you might see that we've got a staff. You might see that, oh, there's Pastor Bruce, there's Pastor Zach, there's Pastor Tom, there's Pastor Jack, there's the men's ministry, there's the young adults ministry. We got all these ministries, and you might think that there's no place for you to work. But you got to understand something. When you get to a place of Rehoboth, God makes room. I said, God makes room. God makes room. And when God makes room for ministry, it's because he's about to do something wonderful in people's lives. There's a lot of things that this church doesn't do right now that one day God is going to birth in this body. And the only way we're going to get there is if some people get to Rehoboth. They got to get to Rehoboth because they got to realize that God has broadened their borders, that God has made a path for them to work in this. Right now, some of you are in training to get to Rehoboth so that you can dig a well, that you might be a blessing to everybody else that's around you. Amen? Some of you can testify tonight about what it means to get to Rehoboth. And I like this because when he gets to Rehoboth, he says, I need to go talk to God. I need the Lord right now. And so he leaves this place and he goes to Beersheba. And he calls out on the name of the Lord. And he practices a tradition. A tradition that his father started in his life. God speaks to him. And I love how God speaks to Isaac. I loved how God spoke to Abraham, but I really like how God speaks to Isaac. God says, I am the God of Abraham. I like that. And I really like when he tells Jacob who he is. I am the God of Abraham and Isaac. And then anybody after that, God said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm that God. God announces to Isaac who he is. I'm the God of your father. I'm the God who spoke to Abraham. I'm the God who called him out of the Ur of Chaldees. I'm the God who called him into the land of promise. I'm him. And then he says, the same God that called Abraham and blessed Abraham is now in return blessing you because of your father. And Isaac receives a blessing in Beersheba, and then he caps the blessing off with a good old-fashioned altar call. He creates an altar. You know what's a shame in our society today is we are getting away from altar calls. We didn't have an altar call last Sunday, and it devastated me because we had a missionary here, but there was not much we could do. You know, he was telling stories and not really preaching. I didn't know what to say to you. I just asked if you need prayer, come up. But when we have an altar call, it's the best time in a service. It's the most important part of the service. Because what good is hearing the word if you don't respond to it? What good is allowing the word to come into your heart and plow into your life if you don't come and water it with some prayer? If you don't come and fertilize it with some prayer? And sometimes God will be talking to you. And at that time is the time to really get alone with God. When God's speaking to you and I'm preaching from behind this pulpit or anybody's preaching from behind this pulpit and you feel the drawing of the Holy Spirit or the Word of God is coming into your heart and it's permeating in your heart and something's happening in your soul, that's the time to build an altar. That's the time to build an altar. I've gotten real good of when I feel the presence of God to steal away for just a moment because I need to make sure I want to feel the blessing. I want to experience some more of God. So I got to build an altar wherever I'm at. Build an altar. Isaac built an altar. And after he built an altar, he dug another well. He stayed right where God spoke to him. He found his place right where God spoke to him. I want you to know something. We find our place as God speaks to us. Not as Pastor Bruce speaks to you. Listen, I want to tell you something. I'm of the mind that everyone needs to come here. Amen. That's because I pastor here and I love all these people. Amen. God called me to Kingman. I got a vision for Kingman, and my vision expands beyond Kingman. It goes to Flagstaff and Havasu and Bullhead and Henderson and the Vega. My vision's way bigger than I can accomplish. And I want everybody. So I got kind of that, you know, hold on to everybody spirit. But I can't keep you. Only God can keep you here. Only God can. And if you know that God has placed you here and he spoke to you here, it doesn't matter what the devil brings your way. You will stay where God has spoke to you. Let me tell you something. As a pastor, if I quit any church because of strife or opposition, I could never be a pastor. I could never be a pastor. You can never accomplish the things God has for you if you live in the strife and the opposition that the enemy is bringing your way. Don't stop. Keep going because Rehoboth is there. God has made room for you. Don't stop because when you get where God has put you, you're going to be able to do and be blessed in the things God has given to you. So keep pursuing